All right, Revelation chapter 13 again this afternoon. Revelation chapter 13. I knew I was going to have too much for 1 hour, this passage. There's so much in here. And I'm going to be reading an article here in a moment. Revelation chapter 13. All right, let me remind you just verse 1 here, just to give us the contrast of the two, but also the similarities. Revelation 13, verse 1, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Now, verse 10 and 11, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. I believe, in fact, there's a lot of different ideas on what that verse is talking about. But as I've studied that out, I believe this is talking about the one who leads into captivity is going to go into captivity himself. The one who kills with the sword is going to be killed with the sword. This is the justice of God that God is bringing about. Because then you notice at the end of verse 10, here is the patience and the faith of the saints. In other words, as all of this wickedness is going on in our world, patiently wait and believe that God is going to take care of things. He is going to settle accounts. Now, verse 11, we have the second beast then. And I beheld another beast coming up, notice, out of the earth. And he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Again, this is the true revived Roman Empire, and it's past history. It's not future. Someday, you know, the Roman Empire is going to be revived. No, it's already been revived in the Roman papal system. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. He had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and because that as many as would not worship, that as many as would not worship the beast, the beast should be killed, the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark. Notice it's not just the mark. Or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. I've never caught that before, studying out in detail here. It's not just the mark. Notice, one of the three. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now I told you this morning that the beast, as we see in this passage, is not an antichrist, an individual coming yet in the future. The beast is actually, notice the political side of things, verses 1 through 10, and also the religious or ecclesiastical side of things in verses 11 through 18. With that said, and as I emphasize the Roman papal system here this morning, I did a quick reminder of some of the immediate facts as far as Pope Francis. This is Wikipedia. This is the Wikipedia description. Pope Francis is the head of the Catholic Church and sovereign of the Vatican City State since 2013. Francis is the first pope to be a member of the Society of Jesus, Jesuits. And let me remind you also in this passage, it talks about names of blasphemy. Verse 6 talks about it, and verse 1 and so on. Here's the titles of Pope Francis and all the popes of the last hundreds of years. Lord God the Pope, the Vicar of Christ, God on Earth, Holy Father, and on the list goes. Talk about names of blasphemy. But what I wanted to emphasize with that is the political and the religious or ecclesiastical side as far as Pope Francis's position and all the popes before him. He's the head of the Catholic Church, and he's the sovereign of the Vatican City State since 2013. With that said, notice Revelation 17. Revelation 17, verse 18. The woman which thou sawest is that great city, Rome, commonly known as the Vatican City State now, which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Now, what I also think is interesting is when the Holy Roman Empire, which is very unholy, when the Holy Roman Empire fell, remember I said in 1798, you know, they took the Pope captive, and I think it's like 1806 is the date that I've written down. In 1806, the official end of the Holy Roman Empire that replaced the pagan Roman Empire of 476 and so on. What was interesting is the Vatican City State was recognized by Mussolini in 1929. Think about what we're talking about with that. Literally, there's a fascist ruler that is recognizing the Vatican again as a legitimate government, city state. I want you to think about this as far as the importance of in our world, in our day, of the Roman Catholic Church, and in particular, the Jesuits. Notice it says again in verse 11. Here's the religious beast. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. This is not coming up out of the sea. So notice there's some distinctions made here between the first beast and the second beast. And notice it says he had two horns. Notice this. Like a lamb. And he spake as a dragon. Every time I see the op photos, the official photos of Francis, Pope Francis, he's smiling like a lamb. Think about that. The Pope is often portrayed as smiling and kind and all of those things like a lamb. But notice how the Bible describes him here. But he speaks as a dragon. This is the little horn, I believe, of Daniel 7. This is the little horn that comes up after the Roman Empire fell. So what we see here in Revelation 13 is out of the political Rome, we see this religious leader coming up as well, the little horn. That's why I say we're talking about a uniting together of the religious and the political systems. And notice it says, he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. So we have the Vatican political arm, and we have the Roman Catholic Church religious arm uniting together. Again, this is the revived Roman Empire that is past history, and we still see it in place today here. Notice also it says, he doeth great wonders, so that he make a fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Notice here these miracles that are performed. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Now notice with me 2 Thessalonians 2 once again. Notice here the miracles that are used to deceive the world. Can I remind you that every week, and in many cases, many days of the week, the Roman Catholic Church performs a supposed miracle that amazes the world. It's called transubstantiation. Literally, they say the Latin words, hocus pocus diem, over the elements, and wow, all of a sudden, magically, the elements, that little wafer and the wine, are miraculously changed to the body and blood of Jesus Christ. That is a counterfeit miracle. That is not what's taking place in reality. That is a counterfeit miracle. Notice verse 8 of 2 Thessalonians 2. And then shall that capital W wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Literally, the papal system will continue until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is going to destroy it once and for all. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. Notice this again, the dragon that we have seen in Revelation 13, with all power and signs and, notice, lying wonders. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. I've read over the years some of the supposed miracles that have taken place with the Roman Catholic Church. And can I remind you that no one is sainted unless there's a certain number of miracles that take place in relation to them. Mother Teresa had to have some miracles in order to become a saint in the Roman Catholic Church. Even the popes and all those things. But they have these supposed miracles. You know, you see Mary's face in all of a sudden this mountain. They call that a miracle. Or there's this miraculous healing that somebody, because they walked past, you know, this person's grave. Or I mean, there's all kinds. It's counterfeit miracles. Satan is the master deceiver. And notice this, millions, more than a billion people in the Roman Catholic Church alone, is deceived by all these things. Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. They want this counterfeit gospel, this sacramental system. And because they don't want the truth so that they can be saved, they are deceived by this. Millions in the history of the Roman Catholic Church have been deceived by this because they don't want the truth. I don't know, maybe you've had this too. I mean, you invite, you talk to a Catholic or whatever, it's just like there's blinders there. They don't want to see it. Why? Because, first of all, because of fear. The Roman Catholic system keeps people in fear that if they leave the Catholic Church, they've left their source of salvation. Think about that. Seven sacraments come through the church. And if that's the case, they leave Mother Church, as they call it, then they've lost their source of salvation. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. And as I said when we were preaching through this passage, this strong delusion here is not just a seven-year tribulation period because they weren't saved before the rapture. This strong delusion has been going on for centuries because they don't want the truth of God's word. That they should believe a lie. Notice, you reject the truth, you're going to believe a lie. That they all might be damned or condemned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. There's the key right there. Because of their pleasure in unrighteousness that allows them to go confess to a priest and then go out and get drunk and sin all they want to that weekend, that's exactly what we're talking about in this whole system. People have been deceived because they don't want the truth. Back in Revelation 13, notice again. He deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Now, I want for us to consider this image. Again, because of the futuristic system that we've been sold here for about 200 years now, we have literally bought into this speculation mode. Well, maybe it's artificial intelligence, and you know they have this image that speaks and all that kind of stuff. It's all speculation based on current news. I want you to notice here again, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Now, I want you first to consider this image thing here. First of all, you notice with me 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Here's what I want to show you. Because we have bought into this outline of prophecy that tells us what we're supposed to believe, that's exactly where we are. They tell us what these things are supposed to be. And then they're getting rich off of the books that we buy from them. Here's what I want you to take notice in Scripture. The word image is not just some statue. It can mean that. But I want to point out something here. Satan always has a counterfeit what God has. Notice with me 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, obviously that's a reference to Satan himself, all right? So he's called here the god of this world. And he has blinded the minds of them which believe not. That's 2 Thessalonians 2 that we just read. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, notice this statement. This grabbed my attention as I was looking at cross-references here. Who is the image of God should shine unto them. Jesus Christ is the image of God. Now let me ask you, does that mean that we're talking about a statue? Absolutely not. We're not supposed to. That is forbidden in Scripture to not make an image, an idol of any form. Notice again, Jesus Christ is called here the image of God. That's very important for us to see that. Why? Because Satan has his counterfeit, his image. Notice with me also Colossians 1:15. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15. So again, what I'm showing you is the Bible does not always say that an image is a statue. Notice it says here in Colossians 1 and verse 15, talking about obviously Jesus Christ here, because verse 13 talks about the kingdom of his dear son. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created, and so on. Notice the context is very clearly talking about Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God. Also, one other reference, Hebrews 1:3. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. Let's look at the context, verse 1, so we see clearly that we're talking about Lord Jesus Christ here, God who at sundry times and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Let me ask you, is this talking about an idol? Is this talking about a statue? It's talking about Jesus Christ, who is the express image. And you do a study of that word image. It's very interesting. And upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Satan, I believe, as you compare Scripture with Scripture, Satan has his counterfeit of Jesus Christ on a throne. All right, so you think about, quote-unquote, Francis. Francis, according to accounts, he was born and raised in South America, Argentina. And because of, near ending of his life and so on, he felt led of God to commit himself, to serving the church. So he becomes a Jesuit. Here's what happens when a pope, and I was reminded of this as I was reading down quickly through some things here. Here's this mere man who served the church, Mother Church faithfully. Here's this mere man who is elected by a group of cardinals and church officials. Here's this mere man, all of a sudden he's exalted to the position of being God on earth. And they have this whole ceremony after he's elected as the next pope. They have this whole ceremony where he's crowned as God, Lord God on earth, Lord God the Pope, Holy Father. And literally he sits up on his throne, which is also called an altar. Very interesting studying this out. And it's a ceremony called adoration. I thought adoration is what we gave God. And literally, these cardinals who just voted a man into this position of God on earth walk by and kiss his toe. Hope he took a shower first. Here's what I'm talking about. Satan has his own image that he has seated in a cathedral in Rome. He's the image of the dragon. And notice this. They should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. This is Rome, the beast. This is Satan's image. And of course, they have all kinds of life-sized images all around the world of Francis. I told you before of the time when I still had my Lincoln FedEx route, and I walked into a lower level to make a delivery or something and pick up a package or whatever. I walk in, I'm walking past that Catholic radio station there, and I walk past the window and it grabbed my attention. Oh, Pope Francis is right there. This life-size cardboard figure standing in the window of their office, and anyone walking by sees this image to Pope Francis. Notice verse 15 then. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and he speaks ex cathedra. Here's the image of the beast in the person of the Pope. And what he says is as if God is speaking. How blasphemous. And notice the cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, everyone, all classes of humanity, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Now, there's a lot of speculation about the mark. So let me share with you some things that I studied out on this. First of all, notice with me Ezekiel chapter 9. Ezekiel chapter 9. All right, so speculation says that this is some digital tattoo. This is some chip implant, a microchip, RFID chip, whatever. Notice me, Ezekiel chapter 9. All right, so there's other references, but these are some of the key ones that I wanted to show you here. So let me ask you, in the Bible, is the mark always a literal tattoo or some kind of mark on the forehead or on the hand? That's what I want for us to look at here. Ezekiel 9 and verse 4. The Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem. And notice this, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. All right, so go through the city and put a mark on their foreheads. Let me ask you, is that a literal mark? That is not a literal mark. I'm going to show you this here in just a moment. Verse 5. Ezekiel 9, verse 5. To the others he said in mine hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young. This is about the destruction of Jerusalem and all that. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women. But come not near any man upon whom is the mark. And begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house and so on. Literally, slaughter as the Babylonian Empire and so on, Babylonian military came through. Notice also Romans chapter 16. Very familiar verse, but as I thought about the mark, I thought about this passage here. We automatically assume without comparing Scripture with Scripture that this mark is some tattoo or a chip or whatever. So let me ask you. We saw the verse and we'll see it again here. The mark or the number of his name or three different things. So if they decide they don't want the mark, but they follow the name of the beast, does that mean they're going to go without facing judgment of God? Notice it says, verse 17, Romans 16. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. So as we talk about false teachers and so on, does that mean I'm literally supposed to go up to them and put an F on their forehead? I'm going to meet up with Joel Osteen. And can I do something? I was reading in Revelation, and I believe you're a heretic. So I want to write a false teacher on your forehead. I'm going to put a mark on your forehead. Obviously, this is not a literal printed mark on the forehead. Notice this. Again, mark them. We're talking about identifying them in a certain way. It's a characteristic that we're pointing out here. Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. So if they're teaching contrary to the doctrines of Scripture, then we are to mark them and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Let me read for you a definition that I came across as far as the mark is concerned. The mark of the beast was the badge of the followers of Antichrist, stamped on the forehead or right hand. It was symbolic of character and was thus not a literal physical mark, but the, listen to this, impress of paganism on the moral and spiritual life. It was the sign or token of apostasy. Here's what we're talking about as far as a mark. It is characteristics that identify somebody as being a certain part of something. In fact, it's in contrast earlier in the book of Revelation to the seal. Notice chapter 7. This is what really grabbed my attention. Revelation 7, verse 1. After these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the sea, the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Notice, sealed in their foreheads. So let me ask you, anyone who sees the 144,000 then, they can see on their forehead a mark? That seal is not a literal mark. Verse 4, and I heard the number of them that which were sealed. And notice, there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Now, let me ask you. All of us who have placed our faith in Jesus Christ have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. So let me ask you, does that mean you have a C on your forehead? Or an S saying that you've been sealed? Here's why we've been deceived. Here's why we have so much speculation going on. It may not be a literal mark, but it may be characteristics of the one who's following the beastly system. Back in Revelation 13, I want you to take notice of this. He had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. This has happened in history. Anyone who did not worship the Pope was burned at the stake, brutally slaughtered, whatever. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor. All right, so small and great. Those in power, those who are nobodies. Rich and poor. Free and bond. To receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Verse 17 talks about the mark. So let me ask you. This is generally a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. But notice verse 17, the mark. I believe that's important to take notice of that. Why does it not in both places say the mark? In other words, a specific mark. Notice with me chapter 14, verses 9 through 11. Chapter 14, verse 9. The third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark in his name. As far as the right hand, this is very interesting as I studied out the history of this. Literally, when the cardinals elected their next God on earth, they would raise their right hand in honor to the image of the beast. Literally, they raised their right hand in honor of the Pope, God on earth. Notice also another reference, chapter 15 and verse 2. So it's not just the mark that condemns somebody to eternal judgment. It's the worship of the beast, and notice what follows from that. Notice it says here in verse 2, it says, "And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God." There are some who will get victory over the beast and his mark and so on. Chapter 19 and verse 20. Revelation 19 and verse 20. Verse 19 gives us the context. "And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against Israel." Is that what it says? Revelation 19:19, right? You know, the Antichrist is in the halfway through the tribulation. He's going to turn on Israel. It does not say that at all. Notice who they're fighting against. It's not Israel. They're not even fighting over Israel. They are gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. This is not an attack on Israel like we've been told. This is an attack on the Lord Jesus Christ himself and the saints. "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before them." This is Revelation 13. "With which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worship his image." They're worshiping the beastly system. "These both were cast alive in the lake of fire, burning with brimstone." So again, we see that this is a mark that is going to condemn them forever. Let me point out again the definition. It's not thus not a literal or physical mark, but the impress of paganism on the moral and spiritual life. This is one of the things I thought as far as the forehead. What do all good Catholics do as they pass Mother Church? That is a token of their allegiance to a papal system, the beast. Back in Revelation 13, notice verse 17. "That no man might buy or sell, save that he hath the mask of the beast." Oh, that might be an application of it, but. All right, so nobody can buy or sell, cannot, you know, get medical care, can't get, you know, health insurance anymore or whatever, save that he have the vaccine pass. Those are modern day outworkings of what we're talking about here. But this has been going on for centuries. Throughout the papal system, anyone who is an heretic, and let me just say this, if somebody was declared an heretic by the Roman Catholic Church, you can be pretty sure that they had the truth. That's what we're talking about here. Literally, no man might buy or sell, say that he have the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. So you notice here the mark is caused by worship. It's an outworking of worship. Literally what happened in history is this. When somebody was declared to be an heretic, the Pope or his inquisitors would literally tell a city, a government, whatever the case might be. They would tell them that if you give aid, give food, or any employment, whatever, to the Waldenses, to the Albigenses, to the Anabaptists, it didn't matter. Anyone who disagreed with them was under their condemnation. They said, you will suffer the consequence, you will suffer the judgment that they should have received. That's why so many refused to help the Waldenses, who were brutally persecuted by the Roman Catholic Church. The Albigenses, the Anabaptists, again, whatever they're called in history. Literally, they could nobody could rightfully give aid or buy or sell or do business with these people. Why? Because the Pope wanted to starve them out, so they would come to their senses and come back to Mother Church. Literally, that's what's in history. This is not just about a tribulation 7-year period. This is what's happened in history and what the Roman Catholic Church has done to our forefathers. So we want to be a part of this system. Verse 18, here is wisdom. Notice the wording here. I've never paid attention quite to this like I did here this last week. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. There's some speculation. That's because we have forgotten what they used to teach about the number of the beast. That's why we have all this speculation. Well, if you spell out Adolf Hitler a certain way, it comes up 666. If you spell out this, it comes up 666. It's all speculation. In fact, I came across several references in my reading to a quote from the 2nd century. Somebody who knew Polycarp. Polycarp was a disciple of John, the Apostle John himself. Here's the quote that I kept coming across, and it's like, I've never heard anything about this before. This quote from Irenaeus in the 2nd century said this: the name Latinos contains the number of 666 in the Greek, and it is very likely because the last kingdom is so called, for they are Latins who now reign, Rome. But in this we will not glory. What's he saying? He says, I'm not going to boast about knowing this. I did some study on this. Latinos. Latinos. When you apply the Greek letters to Latinos, you come up with 666. Very interesting, because you know what the word Latinos means? Latin man. Ah, very interesting. Latin man. So let me ask you, what religion and system in our world today emphasizes Latin? The corrupted Latin Vulgate was the only legal Bible of the Roman Catholic Church during the Dark Ages. Latin. Latin is the official language of the Vatican. Church documents are published first in Latin. The Catholic Mass was conducted in Latin until 1965. Postgraduate courses of canon law are taught in Latin, even yet today. Vatican, I thought this was interesting as I was doing some reading on this. Vatican City is the only place that has an ATM giving instructions in Latin. The Vatican. That's what I told you. The quote about Pope Francis. He's not just the leader of the Catholic Church. He's also the sovereign. That's the word that was used. The sovereign of the Vatican City State. So in the Vatican, we have the political beast united together with the papacy, the religious beast, the head of the church. So the Roman Pope is the man. Notice this again. Here is wisdom. They're already teaching this in the 2nd century of Christianity. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. The phrase, the number, there is the Greek word arithmos. Do your math, he says. But you notice how it's worded here. Jesus himself says, the one who has wisdom, notice, let him have understanding and count the number of the beast. Back in the 1st century, they could figure out who this beast was. Because we've been deceived for 200 plus years, that's why we have to turn to speculation. We can't even figure out who this is anymore. For it is the number of a man. It's the number of a man. And his number is 600, 666. Again, Latinos. So let's bring it up to today. Today, We have the CDC director, who was Jesuit trained. We have Anthony Fauci, who is Jesuit trained. We have now have 6 of 9 Supreme Court justices who are Roman Catholic. And we have Donald Trump, who is Jesuit and Zionist and Masonic Lodge linked. U.S. presidents, as I've already said, have bowed to the Pope. Not only that, but all of this futuristic doctrine, you know, coming Antichrist and all that kind of stuff, was given to us by a Jesuit of the Roman Catholic Church. Well, when I was doing some checking on some things, I came across this article from April 7, 2020. This was at the early part of the pandemic. Listen to some of these statements here. America blindly trusting 2 Jesuits to lead our nation through the coronavirus pandemic. This was April of 2020, when everybody was trying to figure out what was going on. It shows a picture of Dr. Fauci, and it shows a picture of Dr. Redfield. The sudden turn of events in our economy and the outbreak of the coronavirus pandemic should not surprise anyone, because they are right in line with predictable patterns revealed by historical facts. Because we've lost sight of history, we can't see what's going on now. We've been deceived. We're looking for this future Antichrist and not seeing that the beast has been deceiving us right before our eyes. Notice predictable patterns revealed by historical facts, but they have come as a big surprise to our nation due to living in a deep spiritual sleep caused by our rejection of a close personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. By rejecting the only light of the world, Jesus Christ, and replacing him with a long list of lifeless counterfeits, including drugs, alcohol, sports, movies, sexual lust, personal ambition, and on, we have fallen into deep darkness. So we have been blinded from seeing our adversary's schemes unfolding right in front of us. The alarm should have been sounding from the pulpits of our churches. Did you hear what I just said? But have been silenced because our leaders have failed to do the things they claim to believe, bringing upon themselves the same spiritual darkness and blindness. The alarm should have been sounding in our schools, but they have also been silenced because we removed the Bible and prayer, making it illegal to teach the truth about God and history. So we have not heard about the dangers of an evil organization that has been expelled from over 83 nations over the past 5 centuries due to their unceasing, treasonous, lying, murderous plots. We have not heard about how they have been responsible for the murders of hundreds of millions of people through wars, famines, diseases, and murders. They are called the Society of Jesus. The Society of Jesus that Pope Francis is a part of, better known as the Jesuits. And they are now in charge of our federal government's coronavirus campaign. This guy said this back in April of 2020. And yet most of us have all been deceived by everything. Most of our nation. Most Jesuits are not priests, just willing helpers called coadjutors, that's right. I tried to quote that or memorize that word. Anyway, I've never heard of the term before. Who have been indoctrinated at Jesuit schools and universities where they are trained for their roles in advancing Jesuit schemes. The 2 primary agencies overseeing the coronavirus pandemic in the United States are both headed by Jesuit-trained, helpers. Dr. Anthony Fauci is director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, and Robert R. Redfield is the leader of the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, which is the leading national public health institute in the United States. And by the way, a lot of people associated with those organizations have investments in the vaccine companies. You can't see anything there, right? Anthony Fauci has been seen often by national television audiences standing behind President, you remember all these reports that they had daily with President Donald Trump, standing behind President Donald Trump at recent press conferences regarding the coronavirus. I got so tired of watching those things and even hearing about them. Robert Redfield has also been seen on recent national television news coverage of the coronavirus, often with Vice President Mike Pence. The following excerpt, listen to this, this is what grabbed my attention. The following excerpt from a post on CatholicCourier.com provides some background details regarding Anthony Fauci. Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, has emerged for many as the voice of reason. This is a Catholic network, got to remember that. Has emerged for many as the voice of reason and integrity as the nation confronts the novel coronavirus pandemic. Yeah, integrity, as he kept changing everything back and forth. Anyway, that was my comment. Much of that he learned at Regis High School, a no-tuition, Jesuit-run boys' college prep school in New York City. So he went to high school at a Jesuit school and that is renowned as an academic haven. Fauci, a member of the class of 1958, told a group of alumni last May that attending school was the best educational period I could have ever have imagined having. Fauci also is a graduate of College of the Holy Cross in Worcester, Massachusetts, another Jesuit institution. I take great comfort in knowing that when he speaks, that he's speaking the truth and nothing but the truth, Jesuit Father Daniel Lahart, Regis' president, told National Catholic Reporter. I worry about a pandemic, Fauci said last May. Now, less than a year later, his worries are a reality, and he has emerged as the public face of the fight against coronavirus. Again, that's CatholicCourier.com. The one-minute video clip below shows, by the way, it's been removed from here, but the one-minute video clip below shows an excerpt of a speech he gave on January 10, 2017, just 10 days prior to the inauguration of Donald Trump. The event was sponsored by the Center for Global Health Science and Security, which is part of one of America's leading Jesuit universities, Georgetown University. In his speech, Anthony Fauci made the following disturbing comment. This is 3 years before the pandemic. The issue of pandemic preparedness, if there's one message I want to leave with you today based on my experience, is that there is no question that there will be a challenge in the coming administration in the arena of infectious diseases, both chronic diseases in the sense of already ongoing diseases, and we have certainly a large burden of that, but also there will be a surprise outbreak. 3 years before coronavirus. The coronavirus pandemic did not start until 3 years later on January 2020. So how did Anthony Fauci know there would be a surprise attack during Donald Trump's administration? Nothing to see here, folks. Just keep moving right along. The same Jesuit, Georgetown University, that sponsored Anthony Fauci's speaking event also trained Georgetown alumni Robert R. Redfield. Despite having a long history of controversial public health actions, he was appointed to his position as director of the CDC in 2018 by another Jesuit-trained government leader, President Donald Trump. Alumni of Fordham University, the oldest Jesuit university in the northeastern United States. Redfield's controversial history includes the CDC's initial response to the coronavirus in February 2020, when they sent contaminated test kits to state labs, leaving them unable to get conclusive results and thereby effectively delaying our response to the growing danger. In 1992, the Defense Department investigated Redfield after he was accused of lying about the effects of an experimental HIV vaccine, which was developed under his oversight and ultimately failed to protect anyone from HIV. These two men are just examples revealing who is truly running our nation. Sadly, it is not the American people. We have a lot of catching up to do, but the solution to our problems begins with sincere repentance before God, turning away from our sins to seek Him and walk in His ways. To those who do, we'll find help from the Holy Spirit as He guides us into all truth. You notice again how much we're talking about here as far as Jesuits, the Catholic Church, being in charge of all these things. The beast, sometimes called the Antichrist, is the Roman papacy. He's ruling the world from Rome. This is the uniting of the political and religious systems of our world. Let me remind you again. I just want to close with this. I said here recently, and I want to give a little bit of an explanation why I say this. Donald Trump has deceived America. He campaigned on the fact that he would drain the swamp. He is a deceiver and a blasphemer. As I said, there was no mention of God in his presidential acceptance speech, except small g God. He instituted the lockdowns for America. He declared churches as non-essential. He gave Dr. Fauci a platform to promote his agenda. Operation Warp Speed was his idea. In fact, billions of dollars were given to pharmaceutical companies in his name. Trillions of debt was added during his administration, more than Obama. He completely shut down the American economy for months. Inflation that we're dealing with today is Trump's cause and effect. It's not Joe Biden. Joe Biden's adding to it. The inflation that we're experiencing right now is Donald Trump. Can I remind you of something? Donald Trump is the one who, I think it was seven corporate bankruptcies. Investors lost millions because of Donald Trump's business dealings. That's how he ran our country. Trump continues to promote and push the vaccines. I've seen article after article where he takes full credit for 400,000 people estimated that have died in America. Donald Trump takes full credit for it. Not only that, but Donald Trump was the most pro-LGBTQ president in our history. In fact, I heard this recording of the Republican National Convention in 2016. With the cheering of the crowd, he said this: "We're going to protect LGBTQ community from violence." There was cheering all over the Republican National Convention. In other words, what he was saying was, if you are for killing sodomites, you are for killing sodomites if you don't cheer. He's a master deceiver, folks, and we have been deceived in our country. Richard Grenell, how many have heard of his name? The ambassador to Germany. He was the first openly gay cabinet member in America. When Trump was running for re-election, he said this: "President Trump is the most pro-gay president in American history." He was pro-gay for marriage, from his first day in office. Donald Trump also sought to decriminalize homosexuality around the world. So it's not enough to deal with it in America. He's going to export it to nations around the world. His blasphemous use of God's name and profanity, I could not listen to his speeches. I'm just saying, I could not listen to his speeches because of his mouth. In 2017, Donald Trump became a Zionist Jew publicly in a public ceremony in Jerusalem. Billions of PPP loans were sent to closed churches, many of them his strongest supporters. Here's what I'm trying to say, in case you haven't figured it out yet today. The beast is already here. We're not waiting for a treaty with Israel. We're not looking for a rebuilt temple. The beast is already here. And the beast is in charge of America more than we want to admit. I've been doing some research and study on America right now, politically. Do you realize we are literally building an empire around the world? We need to wake up. The beast is here, and it's found out of Rome. Father, I pray that you'd help us to go back to what our forefathers proclaimed hundreds of years ago. The Antichrist is the beast in Rome. And yet we have so many evangelical leaders today that are trying to build bridges to the beastly system out of the Vatican City in Italy. God, help us to wake up. We have been so deceived by this dispensationalist prophecy about this coming Antichrist during a seven-year tribulation period that we've missed the fact that the papal system is in charge of America and other nations around the world. Help us to be discerning in these last days, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.